You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
For hour number three is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel, he's the king, he's fantasy, the fantasy exec. Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta here with you. I'm Greg Sussman. Hour number three kicking off. And we got to start with some basketball talk because we're wrapping up the program today with what we do every Friday. He is Mike Lyon. We are guaranteed a new champion. And maybe you could outperform our experts. You can tweet at us throughout. He is Mike Lyon at FNTSY Radio. I don't know if Florio will respond to you because he's working. But you can tweet at us there. I want to go into the big game from last night, Tony Cincotta, and that was, of course, Russell Westbrook versus Kevin Durant. The Warriors versus the Thunder last night, and it was the Golden State Warriors giving the Thunder their first loss of the season, winning by 26 points. Kevin Durant leads the way with 39 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 shutting up of Enes Kanter.
Yeah, that was shutting up Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter is talking trash. He plays 3 minutes in this contest. Yes. How crazy is that?
It's
like trash talking 101. I tried to school the people this morning on trash talking. If you're sitting on the bench, you can't trash talk. I just want the kids out there to be aware of that. That when you get older, you look like a damn fool sitting on the bench and you be the trash talker to a guy making $135 million actually playing in a contest. So shut your mouth and sit there and take it.
Now, Tony, real quick, I'm sorry. I have to ask you a question and just go back into the vault. How does it make you feel about ML Carr if you go back?
Oh, yeah, ML Carr. He was a cheerleader, though. I don't think he counts. He was more of a cheerleader.
He sat
on the
bench all the time, waved his towel.
With his towel. Yeah, that was a little crazy back in the day. Now, this is the thing with Westbrook, though, from a fantasy perspective, that last night is amazing. He played 29 points. He was 4 for 15, which is not good, yeah. Right? He's four rebounds short of a triple-double.
Yes.
So that's the floor on Russell Westbrook. Imagine a triple-double, close to a triple-double, is the floor on any fantasy player?
It's literally, any given night, it is the floor for Russell Westbrook. Who, by the way, really let you down in DFS last night if you played him because he was too expensive. Yeah. And the prices did not match the output here.
The crazy thing to me is last night I went with the balance for a lineup. I didn't use Russell Westbrook, and I liked what I had. But there's a couple guys that are cheap because of a couple bad games, and one of them was Karl Anthony Towns. And if you didn't have him last night, it absolutely hurt. And all the people that jumped in on Chris Dunn after a great yep. first game performance filling in for Ricky Rubio, it came back to haunt you, and you found out what a rookie was in that contest. But in this Oklahoma City and Golden State game, you look at it, and Kevin Durant put up big numbers. And this is the thing. When Scott talks about foolish things like revenge games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I laugh at him a lot of times. But what happens
except for when
is
I'm
that
right,
the coaches
yeah.
No. The coaches sometimes will go out of their way to make sure that player's in a great opportunity.
Yes.
And that's what we saw last night in a blowout. Kevin Durant put like 31 minutes in a game. The team went out of their way to make sure he put up a big game. And he came through big in that contest. 15 for 24, 7 for 11 for three-point line. I mean, 11 three-pointers. That was like Kobe on his final day, just keep chucking up three-pointers. And he really took it to them. Now, Stephen Curry's a guy that's fantasy numbers have declined so far in this new system. He had 21 points, 7 assists in 30 minutes of play. A respectable night, but Stephen Curry now is the guy that I think is the biggest loser in this situation from a fantasy perspective. Because you can look at Draymond Green, and the points aren't there, but every other category's there. 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks of steal. He continues to get all 5 categories.
How surprised were you guys by the performance of Zaza Pachulia last night?
You know, I wasn't all that surprised. That to me, he put up 8 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, the other stats were good. I mean, he played 23 minutes. So it's like Zaza Pachulia is not someone you're going to trust from a DFS perspective. It was what it was. But you're right, Tony, what you were saying about teams buying into the revenge narrative a bit. Steph Curry, like you said, every single time they went down the floor, he tried to get the ball into Durant's hands. So I completely agree with you that, and you see that in football all the time, right? When a player on
that plays for your team that used to play for the other team. They're the captain of the game. Whether Chris Hogan last or a couple weeks ago. We've seen it. When the teams buy into it. As a fantasy player, I don't necessarily buy into it.
Right. People either buy into it, they don't. You know, it's fun because it gets kind of polarizing.
Tony, you mentioned before the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you played Chris Dunn, he let you down. In fact, I actually stacked my lineup with Timberwolves, and none of them were named Karl-Anthony Towns. Chris Dunn put up, seriously, I'm not kidding. He put up 3 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Zach LaVine only had 14, 5-3 in his worst game of the season. And Gorgui Dieng had his worst game of the season, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I did not cash last night.
No, I didn't either, and it's actually 2 nights in a row, so I actually did a lesson on what to do inside. For slump busters, for all you people out there, the slump busters, Karl-Anthony Towns was – I'm so pissed off at myself about this because Karl-Anthony Towns was underpriced last night. And like you, I played Wiggins, I played Dunn, I played Zach LaVine last night, and the guy to play was – it was right there. It was Karl-Anthony Towns. He was $7,800. He was underpriced, and he had – Gorgui Dieng had been getting a lot of the rebounds and doing a lot of the dirty work there that was hurting him. Last night, Dieng only had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 1 for 6 from the field, and Karl-Anthony Towns owned a game. He's the predominant player, and it was a huge mistake on my part. There's a lot of times when you can't refuse the result with the decision. Last night, I go back, and I think my decision-making process was bad, and that's what bothers me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I this is the same lineup when we got off the show, and I make a lineup right when we're off the show, and I update it throughout the day. I went with that starting lineup from the beginning. Because I liked it. I looked at this lineup and go, this is a good lineup. I'm really excited about it. And that was the most frustrating part because I thought I got some things right. I mean, the Timberwolves are obviously where we went wrong. But on the other side of things with the Nuggets, that's where I thought I went right. I had Joseph Nurkic. He put up 18-5 with 2 steals, 2 blocks. That's a good night. I had Wilson Chandler off the bench, 27 minutes. He had 19-6. I felt good about some of my decisions. We'll get to where I went wrong continuing on. But the Timberwolves really let me down last night, Tony.
No, they absolutely did from a fantasy perspective. In a game with a high total, too, and last night it only finished at 201. You look at the games across the board, right? And the Orlando-Sacramento was a 199 total, finished at 196, but the Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers in a game that wasn't as close as the score as the Celtics went crazy in the fourth quarter, 128, that's 250 points in that contest. That's a huge night. And I stayed away from LeBron because I saw those Celtics injuries, and I didn't think that game would stay close, and LeBron puts up 30 points, his best effort of the year.
Yeah, just back to what you guys were talking about, though. I wanted to know your feelings about Chris Dunn.
Well, we talked about Chris Dunn, and we talked about how much he let us down last night. And
even though that, some of the other numbers were kind of promising, though.
Not really. I mean,
I'm talking seasonal, not DFS.
Well, Chris Dunn, he's a must-play. We talked about that earlier in the week. As long as Ricky Rubio is out, he's a must-play. In DFS, I thought he was a must-play last night. I was just dead wrong. Unfortunately, here going back,
would you go back to him?
Yeah, I'll
continue back to him.
I'll go back to him. Cleveland and Boston last night, Scott and Tony, as you mentioned, I stayed away from this game. Also, I thought the total would be much lower. I didn't go with LeBron, who put up 30-12-7. I didn't go to Kyrie, 23-6-4. There was just a lot of injuries here with Boston. I didn't know really what to expect. The one guy I did like, who I didn't play, was Kevin Love. He had 26-8. Tristan Thompson had a really good game, 15-14. But the story for me, both seasonal and DFS going forward, is on the Boston side of things. And that is with the Celtics first round pick, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was somebody that Celtics fans were not happy about getting. And he exploded last night. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. He played 35 minutes in the absence of Jay Crowder. Both Isaiah Thomas and Archie Bradley, they also put up big-time numbers, with Thomas having 30-6, Archie Bradley 26-10, and Marcus Smart played 28 minutes off the bench. He had 14. Tony, when you look at Boston, you look at the pieces here, without Jay Crowder right now, without Al Horford right now, what do you make of the guards? Who do you want? Do you like Jaylen Brown going forward? Do you like Marcus Smart going forward? What do you see when you look at Boston?
I thought Marcus Smart was a good play last night, and he played 28 minutes in that game. Like I said, 14 points, but he doesn't deliver the assist and rebounds like a true guard does. And Isaiah Thomas just takes a lion's share of the cap there. I'm interested in this Brown situation because I was shocked. I was like everybody else, like, why did they go and draft this guy? And then today I'm like, Danny Ainge know something here or what's going on? This was shocking to me. I think with Crowder's going to be out at least a week, it'd be an interesting speculative play here. But I went and played Amir Johnson, who I thought would get a lot of work here, and his price there was great. 3 points, 1 for 5, 5 assists, 2 blocks. Tristan Thompson's a tough guy at center position there, so I could understand that. But Zeller put together a nice effort for fantasy owners. 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Yeah, Zeller double-doubled last night. He also had 2 block shots. How do you feel about him going forward, you know, especially with this opportunity, Tony?
He's only good when he's going to get the playing time. He's a decent player from an offensive perspective. He can't cover anyone. That's why he's never going to be a full-time center in this league, because the big-time centers will just eat him up.
I actually picked up Jaylen Brown this morning in my seasonal fantasy league.
Is there Fab? Or is it just rolling waivers?
He's a free agent right now. Because you're only going waivers when you drop. So everyone's a free agent. So in this particular league,
do you have any basketball leagues with Fab?
They all actually have Fab. So I have one league where everybody's on waivers and it runs twice a week.
Right.
The other ones are first come, first serve. So I picked up Jaylen Brown this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
good for you.
Maybe we'll see.
You're just on there earlier than everybody else?
Of course. I'm up earlier than anybody else. That's good. So I picked up Jaylen Brown, and I think with 35 minutes of action, as long as Jay Crowder's out, there is a spot for Jaylen Brown on my team at least.
Are there any leagues that you guys are in, though, where you have to wait, you know, maybe a week or a certain period?
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, so my question to you is, how much would you bid of your budget on him?
Depends how, you know, I have to read more. So my waivers run on Wednesday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I have a few days now to think about this. And I need to see if we get any progress report on Jay Crowder. I need to also play, because this is weekly changes, so I need to see how many games the Celtics play next week and if I'll even have them in my starting lineup. All those questions come into mind.
Okay.
The Orlando Magic win 102-94 over the Kings. Kings dropped to 2-4. You know, I didn't go in this direction, but I almost tried to get in 3 studs last night, Tony. And I would have went with Aaron Aflalo and Matt Barnes. I'm happy I didn't, as they did nothing last night. DeMarcus Cousins puts up 33-7. Rudy Gay is 16. Ty Lawson 11-7, although his time as a starter is coming to an end.
Yeah, you know, Matt Barnes is the only guy I played in this contest, so that was crazy for me. The Lawson thing is interesting, because I'm starting to see some rumors about them shopping Collison around, so I'm interested to see if that happens, because I'm a little concerned. Lawson's a decent player at this stage of his career, and Collison really has never been a guy that was a starting point guard in any situation for a period of time. He's always fell into that role, so I'm a little concerned that they get a split time there. I own Collison on a couple teams because people forgot about him on draft day. So for a season-long owners, I'm a little concerned about that. What a game, though, from Aaron Gordon on the other side last night.
Absolutely.
Right? 10 rebounds, 13 points. He's a guy that I don't know what the situation is, and this is the hard part when you evaluate talent. Like, you don't know what goes in the locker room, but he's a way that he always finds his way in the doghouse. A couple times last season, he's already had it happen to him this season once. And Nikolai Vukovic is a guy with Ibaka there. I think a lot of people downgraded his value, and it was a mistake. I think it's a very good team front court-wise, and Vukovic is a guy. The minutes are down, 29 minutes. He plays 31, 32 minutes. They're not relied to do all the scoring. But I think that people got a huge discount because of Ibaka being in the mix.
Yeah, and with Ibaka, he had 17 points last night, but you're not getting anything else. The rest of the stat sheet is hollow. How concerned are you guys about him going forward?
He's turned into a jump shooter. He used to block shots. He used to rebound.
Serge Ibaka, what happened?
He's another guy that got a big guy that gets involved with kids, hits a couple jump shots, and now wants to play outside the key. And this is something Greg Sussman's all in favor of, these big guys shooting jump shots.
I am very much in favor of that. It's true. I just don't want it to be Serge Ibaka. Evan Fournier reminds me of for the Magic of like Danilo Gallinari on the Nuggets. Just dudes that can shoot threes and they can drive and do nothing else. You saw almost 30 points from Fournier last night, but not a thing else.
No, and he's a guy that last night was a good fantasy option, but you're right. You're right. He's basically one-dimensional, and you have to be cognizant of these guys.
100%.
You got to take into account the guys that get you. I'd rather get a guy that gives me 3 or 4 categories, 3 or 4, right? You get a couple steals, you get a couple blocks, and they all add up. Jamal Green's a perfect example of that.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the epitome of that, what you're looking for. But these guys, They're mostly shooting guards. Shooting guards, you're going to have to accept that on a lot of nights. The guys get nothing else except points, and then you go ahead and play them. I mean, the top skills, DeMar DeRozan going down a little bit, Eric Gordon, guys that could shoot and they could bury threes. And they're actually okay on DraftKings because if they shoot three-pointers, you get a little bit of a bonus there. Yeah. But from a fantasy perspective, they're no good. Like Kyle Korver for a lot of years was a guy that was only a guy that scored. He would hit three-pointers, so he would get you two categories, and that's it. And people will roster him like crazy, fantasy-wise. There's just not enough talent at the shooting guard position. You could only accept that there.
Final game last night was a high-scoring affair between Milwaukee and Indiana. The Bucks win 125-107. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 27-9-7. I want to find a way to get him in my lineup for daily every single night. This dude's unreal, Tony.
Well, the Bucks play at a crazy pace, yep. And they're at one of the best paces in the league right now. Antetokounmpo last night was $300 more than Stephen Curry. If you listen to the show, I told you that I would play Antetokounmpo over Curry in that situation with those guys being that close because he just delivers everything. I mean, we're talking about a guy that has the body of a center playing point guard. It's an amazing situation. 11 for 18, 5 for 7 from the free throw line, 27-9. I loved Jabari Parker.
Me too.
It's interesting. He got the rebounds last night. There's some games where he doesn't get under the boards and he just gets you points, but he came through. And people are using Matthew Dellavedova a lot, and he's actually delivered. Because look at even last night, right? He didn't have a great game, but he delivered 5 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal. Like, he gets everything stat line.
But
so
hold
he's
on.
Not a bad play.
Wait a minute, Tony, you left out the part where he had 5 turnovers, though.
Well, you know, some leagues don't have that. My leagues do, but some leagues don't have that. 5 turnovers and for a guy that's not playing the point guard position anymore. It's Matthew Dellavedova. I mean, what do you want from him?
With the Middleton situation, what do you guys think about picking up Tony Snell?
Tony Snell's actually starting for this team. I like Mirza Teletovic more than Snell coming into the year. Middleton's out for the year, seemingly, or at least to deep into the year. So I like Teletovic, but Snell's getting the start. He put up 14 points last night. I don't really find him as a fantasy asset for me.
I don't either because he's just a scorer to me. But the most maddening thing is this Greg Monroe situation coming off the bench. I mean, 16 points and 16 rebounds in 26 minutes.
Six
of play.
Assists,
That's
too.
Amazing. Like, what the hell does he have to do to get in this lineup?
I have no idea. On the other side of things, Indiana 23, led by Paul George, who had 23. Monta had 6 points, go along with 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. So good game from Monta. Miles Turner's been kind of disappointing, Tony. Only 15 points and 2 rebounds.
No,
last
really
night.
Disappointing.
Okay.
The first two games, he looked like all world, right?
Yes.
He looked all world. They're playing up pace. And now it's really been slow. And actually, the second halves have been billing him out. The start of the games, I think he had 2 points and 3 rebounds at halftime last night. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This is a situation with a young player. It's going to be up and down. And I think our expectations might have got out of whack.
How hard is it to watch Jeff Teague right now?
I don't think it's hard at all, to be honest with you. I'm buying
shooting-wise?
I'm buying.
By low,
I'm buying Jeff Teague for sure. He put up 16 points yesterday. He had 6 assists. He had 4 rebounds, 3 steals. You look across the board, that's a good game.
Right.
So people are looking at your shooting numbers and not liking Jeff Teague. Great, give it to me. I like Jeff Teague a lot.
I totally agree. I mean, I think the biggest deficiency right now is finding point guards that are giving assists.
Yep.
And he's out there doing it. So I will absolutely put him in my play. But he was the only bad thing about this. Defensively, again, is an issue with this guy. He was minus 20 last night when he was on the court.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that. Sergio Rodriguez is another guy in Philadelphia. I get worried. Like, he's great right now. He can't play defense at all.
At all.
And I'm worried that eventually that he's a guy you should trade because eventually someone's going to say, hey, we might need to get somebody else up there.
Tony, who are your favorite plays for tonight? You got a full, nice Friday slate, a lot of games out there on the table. Who are your cheap plays? Who are the big guys you're going for? Who do you like tonight?
You know, when you look at it on a Friday night, right, you
yep.
get the whole smell. I'm disappointed in the NBA thus far, aren't you, with the teases that we have each night. Like, we had back-to-back games this week where we had 10 games, right?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you get a 4-game slate, you get a 5-game slate, and it really ruins the momentum. The game you have to look at tonight, though, is the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers, right? And this is a game where LA's actually played better this week, and the spread's only 10, so I'm not really worried about the blowout factor in this contest tonight. So I am going to go, last night was Kevin Durant.
Yep.
They try to get Stephen Curry more involved. His price is down, like Karl Anthony Towns, right? I said, man, I'm mad I didn't pick him. Well, when this guy's $8,600, he was a $12,000 player last year. I am going to go back to the well with Stephen Curry in tonight's game, in tonight's contest to come into play. I like Dwayne Wade in tonight's game against the New York Knicks. High-profile game. Wade's looked great. He's taken a ton of shots. He's only $6,400 on DraftKings. I use him at the two-guard position tonight. If you're back at the point guard, New Orleans, Tim Frazier, a guy against the Phoenix Suns, up and down, up and down. They don't have any scoring options in New Orleans. Tim Frazier's a guy at $6,400. FanDuel, he's $5,500. That's a cheap price. You pair him with a Stephen Curry there in the backcourt, you can go into play. You can go back to Kevin Durant if you want, but I like Jimmy Butler in that game against the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are dead last to covering small forwards in that game. That's a play that I absolutely love. I love T.J. Warren for the Phoenix Suns against the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans defensively are absolutely terrible.
You keep bringing that game up here, Tony. New Orleans and Phoenix, sorry for cutting you off there, but you talked about the Lakers and Golden State. That Phoenix-New Orleans game is a game I love. T.J. Warren, you mentioned. Devin Booker. Anthony Davis on the other side. You mentioned Timmy Frazier. I'm targeting that game along with Golden State and L.A. is a game I want to target.
And then if you guys are looking at that Laker-Golden State game, how much do you guys like Klay Thompson at 5,900 on DraftKings?
I don't, and I probably should, because to me, Klay Thompson's now with that offense, the one negative about him, he's turned into a scorer only. There's no rebounds there. The lack of steals have not been there, so I'm a little concerned about Klay Thompson, but the price is nice, so I could see people going that. If you think the Lakers could hang, Julius Randle has a good game. The big men are definitely suspect in Golden State. If you want one thing there, Julius Randle's the guy that'll get to the boards, and they have deficiencies there. The Golden State Warriors have actually been 30th in the league at covering power forwards in the early part of this season, so he comes into play. And at center tonight, I'll tell you what, you're looking for a guy, I like Jonas Valanciunas against Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside, as good as he is with block shots and rebounds, has been letting up points to centers. Valanciunas only $6,200 and $6,500.
Hey, by the way, for me, we're talking about going cheap at center. Right now I have Cody Zellerin. He's $4,700. He's starting for Charlotte. He's been very consistent. I'm playing, looking at FanDuel. He's been very consistent. And at under $5,000, I'll take that. And then to get even cheaper, you go to the point guard position, Tony. I just would love your thoughts here. If Darren Williams doesn't play, J.J. Barea at $5,100 for Dallas in a game that I also like against Portland. And then in Brooklyn, Isaiah Whitehead, no Jeremy Lin tonight, no Gravis Vasquez tonight. I think Isaiah Whitehead, along with Randy Foy, is going to get all the minutes they can handle there. He's only $4,500 at the point guard position.
Yeah, that's a good play. I love the J.J. Barea play if Deron Williams is not playing. Damon Lillard, as good as he is not good defensively.
Yep.
And sometimes doesn't even take interest. And J.J. Barea is a good player. Like, he could start on a lot of teams.
Yep.
I don't know what the situation there in Dallas is, where they've never given him real long opportunity there, and if he's a guy that maybe he'd wilter down if he played every night. But I love him. I play him some nights when his salary's low and they're in a contest. This is a good matchup for J.J. Barea. I love that call.
Going back to center really quick. Though,
yes, sir.
You know, do you guys have any love for Tyson Chandler at 4,500 on FanDuel, coming off an 18 rebound performance?
No, I'm not worried. I still can't. It's back-to-back 18 rebound performances for Tyson Chandler. But to me, I look at Alex Len. He had a really good game. I can't buy the Phoenix center position. There's just so many other options for me. Tony,
I actually hit it big because I picked Tyson Chandler up in a season-long league this week, and he put together two big games.
Yep.
I would never use him in DFS. Yep. His minutes vary from night to night, and that center position is definitely fluid in Phoenix. So I got lucky in a season-long league, but I'm not going to throw my DFS lineup on it.
If you need a cheap shooting guard, by the way, Deion Waiters on FanDuel, only $4,700. The minutes are there. The points
it's crazy.
Are there. Everything's going well for Deion Waiters.
Yeah. Any love for Porzingis tonight?
I actually picked him up in season-long leagues as well, Deion Waiters, for all you guys that play season-long. He was on the waiver wire, and I'm in a deep league, so you can go
out
there and grab him.
Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, we're done with the basketball talk. It's time to load up the music, bring in Mike Florio. Is Mike Lyon for the next half hour here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Good luck to all players. Think, breathe, and get ready. We'll be right back. We continue here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It is time to bring back Mike Florio. It is time for Is Mike Lying? I have come close many times on this program to winning. I went to 10 overtimes last week. Literally, we played two games, and I would have won if I just didn't go the opposite, just to go opposite state, because we're literally out of time. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. But now I take a back seat. I am co-hosting Is Mike Lying with Michael Florio. And is this, Mike, the first time we have three participants? No, we did three with me previously.
We have had three. I'm a little sad that you're sitting out, but I guess you do need a rest week after.
Well, it's not that you need a rest week. I just think like four people in this game is
like
a lot.
NBA backs-to-backs, right?
Yeah, four people is a lot. So I'm happy to team up with you and co-host this.
You are
so
a game show host.
I am the resident game show host around here. One day, guys. So Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta. This is Mike Lyon. Mike, start it up, my friend.
The first question. Kirk Cousins has more passing yards than Derek Carr.
Kirk Cousins has more passing yards than Derek Carr. We're going to start to my left and go with Scott Angle.
I'm going to say true because, you know, there's been so much volume more consistently for Cousins, and Carr's had some down games.
Tony Cincotta.
Yeah, I think the same thing. We've seen close to 40 passes every game for Kirk Cousins, and it's been a couple 200-yard passing performances by Carr. I'm going to say true.
Corey Parson.
I will say true.
Okay. I don't know. I thought there was analysis. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm just using the volume.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem. All right. Everybody says it's true. Are you lying, Florio?
No, I actually thought this may stump them with Carr coming off that huge week. But no, Cousins has 2,454 yards to Carr's 2,321. So they each get a check here.
All right.
Yeah, you know, playing this game is kind of like, you know, playing football. You want to read a defense, and you start to learn the tendencies of the Mike Florio here. It's like a divisional game, too.
You've played it enough times that it's a divisional game.
Yeah,
now.
I feel like I know your tendencies better.
Okay.
Sounded like a trick question anyway.
We're tied 1-1-1. Kirk Cousins, volume is there. I like Kirk Cousins has been pretty good, you know, since the first couple games. He's been pretty good. Kirk Cousins is startable right now.
The running games has improved, though, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of effect that has on the overall volume.
Robert Kelly could be the starter coming out of the bye for Washington. Yes. All right, Florida number 2.
They like him.
Jordan Howard has more rushing yards than Frank Gore.
Jordan Howard has more rushing yards than Frank Gore. Tony Cincotta, we begin with you.
Now, Howard had two big games, a third big game. We've played 9. Some teams have played 8. I think he's trying to trick us, and I'm going to go with Frank Gore. So I'm going to say this is false.
Going with false. Corey.
I agree with Tony. I'm going to go with false on this proposition right here. I think Frank Gore, for the most part, has been he's been serviceable, so kind of not great, but getting it done. I think he has more rushing yards than Jordan Howard.
Okay, so you say Frank Gore. I believe Tony said Frank Gore.
I'm going to say false as well, because if you look at the game logs, and like Tony talks about, you know, Jordan Howard's had the three big games, but he didn't even get the starting crack until recently. Frank Gore's kind of underrated because he's double-figure fantasy points every week. I'm going to say Frank Gore.
Florio?
Well, it's unexciting because they've had the same answer twice in a row, but they're all right again.
Ah! That's why they're the experts. They're all right. They all say Frank Gore. The consistency has been there for the Indianapolis veteran. Everybody is tied at 2.
Gore had 532 yards to Howard's 505, for those who are wondering.
All righty. Corey Parson, you're up first.
Deal. Let's go.
So
let's
listen
go, let's
up
go.
To question number 3.
It's a good question to start with Corey.
I like that. It's got to be an Uber fact.
No, not yet.
Okay.
But Jamison Crowder, that's his guy.
My guy.
Yeah.
He leads the league in receptions inside the red zone.
Ooh, that's interesting right there. I'm going to go, he gets a lot of looks inside the red zone too, probably more than he deserves. I'm going to go false.
Going false. Scott.
I'm going to say false. This sounds like a Florio trick question in terms of the crowd is so good in the red zone, but I bet he's like second and third or third knowing Florio.
All righty, Tony Cincotta.
This has a chance to be true because it said receptions. And he didn't say targets, because that wouldn't be true. I am going to say false, though.
So you've all said false? Is that correct? They've all said false. Mike?
Yeah.
It is, in fact, false.
You got to change the question here.
Yeah, who's ahead of him?
He has six. Jordy Nelson leads the league with eight. And then there's about six or seven players who have seven each. So he's up there, but not leading the league.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be something like that.
Everybody decided three. Floyd, you're going to have to change your style because everyone's
I think I got to switch it up.
And you know what? He used to not be in the room either.
I know. Yeah. We have to work on these together. And then you just read the questions, and they don't know if you wrote them or I wrote them.
Line. I like that. Make him a contestant.
Yeah. Well, no. He's the host. I'm just the co-host here. Yeah. I'm like the announcer. I'm like Rod Roddy.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
This one might get him.
Number four.
This is an Uber fact.
Yes!
Greg's favorite. According to Uber facts, Lindsay Lohan talks with a new accent that she calls Lilohan.
Scott Engel.
Just wacky enough to be true.
So he says true. Yeah. Tony Zagata.
You can't make that shit up, true.
Corey Parson.
I'm going to go false.
We got a different.
Finally.
We got a different, and unfortunately you're wrong, though, Corey, because it's
true. I knew Greg would know this one.
Wow.
I did know that one.
Yeah, apparently it's...
I know her personality. Like, I got to be true.
Apparently she's learning a bunch of new languages, and is just like kind of combining the accents into one, and wants to make it like her own thing.
Yeah, I had a feeling that one was wrong. I knew that for sure. Yeah. All right, Corey.
Good thing you're not playing. You'd be like, true.
I did say true.
Yeah, but I had a strong feeling.
You are now 1 point back.
All right.
From Tony Cincata and Scott Engel. You took a stab. Hasn't worked so well.
Stab.
We'll see what happens.
Let's go.
We are about to be halfway through because this is question number five?
Yes.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton, a guy you guys have discussed a lot today, leads the Colts in red zone targets.
T.Y. Hilton leads the Colts in red zone targets. Corey Parson, you think about this because Tony Cincata is up first.
All right.
This is a ridiculous question. So obviously it's
why?
False.
Why is it ridiculous?
There's nobody else. Because no one else on the Colts would be other than T.Y. Hilton. So I'm thinking it can't be him. It has to be someone like Jack Doyle. I'm going to say false.
Corey?
False. Jack Doyle leads the Colts in red zone targets.
Scott?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing as Tony.
So
yeah.
Everybody says Jack Doyle leads the Colts in red zone targets. I was going to say I was unquestionably believe that Jack Doyle leads the Colts in red zone
T.Y.
targets.
T.Y. Hilton's traditionally not a red zone guy either.
Hilton has seven.
Yeah.
Jack Doyle has nine.
Everybody, yeah. Not Florio, not only did everybody know that this was wrong, we all said who it was. I feel like these questions need to be much harder next week.
Yeah, the only one that we've had a pivot on was the Uber facts.
And then we all knew that except for this idiot.
I think Corey needs to work on his bluffing, though, because he didn't even be like, oh, maybe. He's just, yeah, it's Jack Doyle. I know it.
Yeah. You know, Corey doesn't play this very often, so he's got to get the mindset here.
I wasn't allowed to back when we was on the ship.
Well, let's continue.
There's a lot of other things. You weren't allowed to do it, right?
I know, right? I couldn't go to anything.
Only 1 point down. You're only 1 point down.
Can openly date, too.
We're halfway through. Let's get into question number six.
This one might be a little bit harder for them.
You've said that before, and it was not, so I don't believe you.
I like this one. No player has a higher percentage of their team's red zone rushing attempts than LeGarrette Blount.
Corey Parson. No team has a higher has a higher percentage of their team's red zone rushing attempts than LeGarrette Blount.
This definitely sounds like this is a true statement, considering the way the Patriots are set up. But how much are they inside the red zone when they score?
But that doesn't necessarily matter, though.
It's percentage.
It's percentage of the carries that LeGarrette Blount gets inside the red zone.
That's interesting. I'm going to go false on this one. I think it's somebody else lingering out there.
Okay. Scotty?
I'm going to say false. I think Melvin Gordon, you know, is somebody else you could strongly consider here.
Tony?
I think Melvin Gordon's the only back in San Diego, at least White's, you know, out there, and every once in a while they throw a tight end in the backfield. So I'm going to say false, too, and see if the King is actually right, I believe, with Melvin Gordon.
By the way, before you answer, if I was playing, I would have said false because the red zone's from the 20. You got a lot of guys that could be get a lot of carries from the 20. We all would say false here. Florian?
We didn't say the green zone. That's correct.
It is false.
Yep.
He is second in the league. He has 85.7%. Melvin Gordon is third in the league with 83.3%.
So before you say the answer, everybody got it right or false. Corey, you are 1 point down right now. If you can name the player who's number one, I, as the co-host here, will give you an extra point.
Oh, that's very generous of you.
I'm a nice guy.
I am going to say that running back is Latavius Murray.
Is it Latavius Murray, Michael Florio?
Nope.
It is not
Latavius Isaiah Murray. Crowell.
Isaiah Crowell
for
Tony Giacomo.
Isaiah Crowell?
Not Isaiah.
It is not.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott.
It is not Ezekiel Elliott.
Wow. All right. So if
I'll
get
give
it
you guys a
wait,
help.
No.
Wait. I want to take one more stab.
Wait,
David Johnson.
Nope.
All right. Thank you very much. I will now give you the answer. Not that I know it, but let's see. Red zone. I have absolutely no idea, to be honest with you. Red zone percentage runs.
Ooh,
I think I
know who
stab.
It is.
Kristen Michael.
It's Greg's turn.
Okay.
Whatever.
But no.
That was fantastic. High percentage of red zone runs, man. You know it, Corey?
I think I know
it. Give it up.
Matt Forte. Yay! I get my point?
We were not giving you the point. That was your 30th guess.
Yeah.
So
we all whiffed on it.
87.5%. So not only does he lead, he's about 2 percentage points higher than the second.
He's crushing it right now.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we finish up. Is Mike Lyon? We finish up the week. The scores are right now. Tony and Scott lead the way. They are 6-6. Corey Parson. He's got one wrong, but there's still plenty of time to go to come back. He's Mike Lyon. Continues next here on the Roto Experts. It is the final 20 minutes of the week here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Scott Angle and Tony Sincotta have 6 points out of 6 questions in Is Mike Lyon. Corey Parsons only gotten the Uber fact wrong. We know there's another Uber fact to come. Hopefully this will be tougher for Mike Florio. From Mike Florio, the question's a little easy, Mike, this week.
All right. I got you guys. Don't worry.
You got us.
I think so.
Is it with number 7?
Maybe.
Well, let's find out.
Kenny Britt has more receiving yards than Michael Thomas.
Scott Angle.
I am going to say true. Michael Thomas has been serviceable. He plays in a better offense. But, you know, Britt's been the leading guy for the Rams. And, you know, they've had some good performances. I'm going to say true.
Tony.
I am going to say true. If you look back, besides the 130-yard receiving, Thomas was getting touchdowns early. But not a lot of receiving yards. So I'm going to say true.
True. Kenny Britt had that big game a couple weeks ago. I think that gives him the edge.
Florio thought he had everybody, but everybody, including myself, agrees that this is true.
Yeah, it's close, though. Britt has 535. Thomas has 500.
All right. Corey clapping it up for himself. Everybody.
For all my friends.
For all
your friends. All my friends.
Everybody is 7-7 here. Corey Parson, though,
six.
6-7. Number 8. This could be an Uber fact.
It is an Uber fact.
Yeah, I know. You like the question number 8 being an Uber fact. I know that about you.
So he's 4-8.
4-8, yeah.
According to Uber facts, there are roughly 25 people in Chicago that are 108 years old.
Tony?
Well, this is very relative based on the World Series.
Correct.
I'm going to say false. There's 25 people in the world, I'll say. So I'm going to say false.
Corey?
I'm going to say true.
He says true to go against Tony, trying to get this point back. 25 people in Chicago that are 108 years old.
I'm going to say false, knowing Florio. There is a good amount, but it's not 25.
I think 25 is around the country. I would have said false as well.
Yeah.
Michael Florio.
I found this hard to believe too, but according to Uberfacts, this is true.
We have a tie ball game! Corey Parson!
I want to count.
He wants a head count.
To not accept the fans. Yeah. I accept the result of this.
Wow. Corey Parson has tied this puppy up. Wow. Okay. Everybody has 7 points. We are through 8 questions, which means there are at least two questions to go. I hope you did like 14 overtime questions today.
Two.
Okay. Might not be enough. We'll see. Question number nine.
Quincy Enunwa has more receptions than Brandon Marshall.
Quincy Enunwa has more receptions than Brandon Marshall. This is question number nine. So that means we start with Tony Sincotta.
Quincy Enunwa. No, false.
Corey, you know what's coming to you. He's got his eyes closed. He's looking deep into his fantasy black book, which you can hear on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'm going to say that this is false.
Two false answers. Scott has the ability to take the lead. Quincy Enunwa has more receptions than Brandon Marshall. This is a tough one, I think, for the guys. Scott Engel.
I'm going to say this is true. Enunwa's been very reliable.
He takes the stab. Quincy Enunwa has more receptions than Brandon Marshall. Scott says true. Our other co-hosts say false. Mike Florio, who gets the point?
Scott
Engel, the king! How many more receptions does Quincy Enunwa have than Brandon Marshall?
Enunwa has 36. Brandon Marshall has 34.
Wow, two more receptions. Scott is in a position to win this game right here. Let's see what strategy will be involved. Let's see if they play strategy. Corey, not in a great position. He will be answering this question first. Tony in a prime spot to disagree with Scott. Let's see if he does it. Will he disagree with Scott just for the point? Or will he say what he thinks is right, even if, you know, who knows? Here we go. Question number 10. Scott looking for his first win on Is Mike Lying on this network.
Phillip Rivers leads the league in red zone passing attempts.
Phillip Rivers leads the league in red zone passing attempts. Corey Parson, your answer, please.
That's false.
That's false, says Corey.
Gotta be false.
Gotta be false, says Scott. If Tony says false, this game is over. Scott Engel is your champion. If he says true, we could be going to overtime with Tony and with Scott. Tony, your answer.
True.
He says true. Michael Florio?
Overtime.
We're going to overtime! Wow! Phillip Rivers leads the league in passing.
You know what I have to say about that? And it won't be the last time.
Not only does he lead the league, it's not even close. He has 63 attempts inside the 20. The next closest is Aaron Rodgers with 48.
So you guys all hear that. You think Melvin Gordon is inside the 20. It's not inside the 5.
Here's
why I made my mistake. I built this momentum by knowing Florio. I went against what I thought would be the Florio tendency and just went straight for the question.
You didn't think about Florio.
I think about Florio that it's so easy that it has to be, you know, the other way.
So easy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this is why we co-write the questions. They'll have no idea. Just so you know. All right. We go to overtime. Corey, you can sit on the side with me.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. You're upset. You came back.
I'm not upset.
You came back and then you blew it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I tried my best.
Okay.
I think I had a... No, I was robbed of a point.
How are you robbed of a point?
Matt Forte. Right. The Matt Forte... I got the Matt Forte.
You got on your 30th guess, though.
It was not... It was my first guess.
It was definitely not your first guess. We gave you the first guess. You got it wrong. We gave you a second guess. You got it wrong. And maybe your third. All right. Here we go. We go to overtime. Number 11.
Allen Hurns has more targets than Allen Robinson.
Allen Hurns has more targets than Allen Robinson. Scott Engel, we go to you first.
True.
True, he says, quickly. Tony?
I totally agree. It's true. Unfortunately, as an Allen Robinson owner, it's true.
They both say true.
Yeah, I'm an Allen Robinson owner, too.
Florio?
It is not even close to being true.
I wish I was still playing.
It is not even close to being true.
Allen Hurns has 56 targets, and Allen Robinson has 70.
Wow.
That's what makes it so...
Scott answered so confidently. Tony says, oh, yeah, I know this. I'm an Allen Robinson owner. Both are dead wrong.
That's what makes it the decline this season, the regression this season so crazy because he's still on the same, like...
Target low. Yeah.
So it's like, it's Blake Bortles.
It's Blake Bortles. All right.
I did it again. It's like...
No, I don't...
That sounds like a trick right out of the gate.
I'm harder to read than you thought.
Maybe you are.
Over the last two questions, the first nine were easy.
Ooh. Well, We're in overtime. Better. This is question.
He's like Blake Bortles. He's better in the two-minute drill.
This is question 12. Double overtime. Tony Zuccotta answers first. Mike Florio.
Marvin Jones leads the Lions in receptions.
Marvin Jones leads the Lions in receptions. Tony.
True.
True.
False.
False. All right, we're going to have a winner. This 12th question will do it.
I know who leads the Lions in receptions.
So, Corey, would you like to give it away to us?
Theo Riddick.
Theo Riddick leads the Lions in receptions. That's true.
No.
Hold on, Tony.
Oh, it's not
That's
true.
Not true.
Oh.
Corey Parson got it wrong.
It is not good. Theo Riddick.
It is not Theo Riddick. But the winner of Is Mike Lion Week 9 is...
Scott Engel.
Scott Engel, the king! He is the king, he is fantasy, and he is the winner. It is Mike Lyon, because the man that leads the Lions in receptions is Golden Tate.
Tate has 38, and Jones has 36.
Wow.
Close, but...
Just missed it.
That's the question that pisses me off, Mike Florio. 56, 38, 6, Thursday. Who gives a crap, Mike Florio? Come on, man.
Stop
it. You're sounding like Cam Newton at a press conference.
When I make the question so wide that it's not this close, everyone says they know the answer, so.
Well, obviously we did it with Allen Robinson, so maybe you need to go back and do a better job. More research.
Wow,
you got it, Tony.
He's attacking the host.
It does seem that way.
I'm pissed. Yeah, he's upset. I'm very passionate about it.
We appreciate that, Scott.
Good game, fellas.
Congratulations. Yeah, good game, fellas.
Yeah.
Scott, you suck.
Yeah, you sound like Cam Newton after a loss.
Why are you hating on Cam Newton? Because he beat Russell Wilson in the NFC Championship game last year.
How many rings do you have?
Why are you hating on Cam? Why are you hating?
Is he
on
not
Cam
a crybaby after every press conference? They're hitting me.
You're mad because he beat Russell Wilson in the
Russell Wilson has a ring.
Russell Wilson's a celebrity quarterback. He'll never get another ring. He's a celebrity quarterback.
Tony Romo is a celebrity quarterback who never deserved to be one.
Cam Newton has a ring, just for clarification.
NFC Championship?
No. It's an NCAA championship.
We're not talking about that.
And he has a Heisman Trophy, too, so I think he's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a Super Bowl ring.
You sounded like, again, the whole Marco Rubio thing. Ring.
That's right. Yep. Something Odell Beckham doesn't have.
What did I say about my players? Odell, I didn't say anything with the Giants.
Yeah, you took a shot. I'll take a shot back.
All I did was that you kept repeating yourself.
Yeah, you called me Marco Rubio.
So you are Marco Rubio. So you have the same shtick.
I took a shot back.
Why is that a negative to be called an immigrant that came over to America like his family on a boat and did well and became a United States senator? How is that a negative?
Well, because you didn't position it like you did.
Tony, we're just 4 days away from Election Day. Will you be voting for Marco Rubio?
I will not be voting for Marco Rubio. I actually detest him more than any other immigrant in the United States. Because he has not even voted when he got in the Senate. Like, he got elected to a position, and he's never showed up for a single vote. And it's amazing to me that people don't see this kind of stuff.
So he would not vote for you, Scott, is what he's trying to tell you.
It's okay.
No, Scott would show up, I think. Scott, you don't have a participation problem.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
Scott's a hard worker. He's a man of the people.
I'll be honest with you. You guys, like, you talk fantasy basketball. I'm not up on it like you guys, but I want to be interested. I want to participate. So I'm all about participation.
We appreciate the participation, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so he's way ahead of Jake Seeley.
Why are you doing that again?
I'm trying to stir Scott on. Trying to stir you on, Scott, everyone. So, you know, the show's ending, the weekend. I'm trying to get you started.
Speaking of the weekend, Tony, what are you up to this weekend?
The weekend, I'm going to watch some football, and then I got a kid's play that I have to go to tonight. You ever go to a kid's play, Greg Slassman?
I have been to a kid's play, yes.
Do you enjoy them?
Not particularly.
I will either.
What is the performance tonight?
I have no idea. I'm told I have to go there, and I just go.
But you don't know what the performance is?
No, that's why I give Mike Florio birth control tips during in between commercial breaks, so he doesn't get in these situations.
Gotcha.
You have to, Mike is always smiling. He's the opposite of Jake Seeley. I think he's getting it all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy always smiles.
Boy, Scott, you really are.
This is like very aggressive.
Yeah, it's very awkward, too. All of a sudden, you're in my Florio bedroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the guy is smiling all the time. There can only be one reason.
Why? You can't smile for other reasons?
The guy smiles all the time. Yeah. He's opposite of Jake Zealy.
You don't smile that much either, Scott.
I smile all the time. Let the bobs be accurate. I've been married for a long time.
What does that mean?
That doesn't mean anything.
What does that mean?
That means,
so does Hillary Clinton.
That means that I'm doing something right if I keep it up consistent with a hot chick year after year.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, look, you've been going for a while with your roommate.
Don't worry about me.
Great humor there. You need some new jokes.
What?
You need some new jokes.
You need a new joke for 6 years now.
All right, you're uptight. How's that?
Uh-oh.
Great, that's a good. I'll take that. That's a new joke. I like that.
And your shirt costs more than everything on this block.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on TV today. I need to wear this nicely.
Yeah.
Scott,
did
I love
your butler get that for
though.
You?
My butler get? No, I bought this myself. Actually,
you got a butler. You got a Jeeves.
I'm wearing Jeeves.
The only guy on this crew actually lives in Manhattan.
I live in Manhattan, Scott.
Uptown Manhattan. He lives in Midtown.
Yeah. I do live in Midtown Manhattan. I'll be moving uptown at some point, though.
Oh, that'd be cool. We'd be neighbors.
Yeah.
There's a spot in my building.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk.
Well, it's very expensive.
Oh. Okay. All right, then never mind. And you thought I was the high roller here.
No, I'm saying, we've been there for a long time.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah.
My new neighbors are paying a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Not my fault.
Scott, what are you up to this weekend?
I have my brother coming over tomorrow. We'll have lunch, and then I'll be watching football on Sunday and, probably doing some writing for the New York Daily News. I'll be in the check us out in the Sunday paper, the two-page Stardom and Cinema spread with myself and Gary and Thorne.
And Corey?
The whole world wonders about two angles now walking around the country.
I'm three with their son.
Pretty much up in the air for tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I will, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time, I'll be right here, my guy Nando DeFino and Dennis Esser, getting you ready for kickoff right here on the Fantasy Sports.
Dennis Esser this week, no Chris Vaccaro.
Coach.
The coach. All right.
Coach Esser,
Coach Esser in the house, that'd be cool.
Check us out, get you ready for
Or as Joe Pizzapia says, what do you call him, Todd Vaccaro last Sunday?
And you'll be with Pizzapia in the morning, right?
He Pizzapia got a little mad when I told him reading was fundamental.
You should tell that to Cardano.
All right, so as the guys are saying.
Suspect, what are you doing?
What am I doing?
You going to Spain or something?
I'm going to Spain?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to Spain. I am. I'm having dinner tonight. I'm going for a burger tonight.
With your girlfriend?
With my girlfriend, yeah. We're going to go for a burger and some beer.
That's cool.
Which is always fun. And
does she eat burgers in front of you? Like, some women will only eat salads in front of their guys.
Tony, I'm going to be very honest with you. She eats more than I do every time we go to
eat.
Yes. Yes.
That's the kind of girl I like.
Agreed.
I like
that. Yeah, it's cool.
Absolutely. She eats much more than I do. It's like it's a rare feat when I eat more. We'll have burgers and beer tonight. Nothing new. Watching football on Sunday. I'm with you guys.
What programs are you watching this weekend?
I'm going to watch The Good Place tonight at some point, which is an NBC show. And then Sunday night, I guess I have to watch all the Sunday night shows, but I'll probably do that like next Monday.
I'm going to try to catch up on Orange is the New Black.
I know. You're almost a year old already.
I've just been too busy to watch it, and definitely Walking Dead Sunday night.
All right, there you go. Listen to Scott Angle with Tony Sicada and Joe Pizzapia. 8 a.m. Fantasy Game Day. And then it will be the Line of Block Show with Corey Parson, Nando DeFino, and the coach, Dennis Esser. For the Roto Experts of the Morning, I am Greg Sussman. We will see you on Monday. Good luck in Week 9. That's a wrap.